Okay, we are back, and although I hear him every morning on our program, and just fantastic information he puts forth in a 60-second dissertation, it is great to have him. Haven't spoken to him in a long time, but it is certainly good to have him back. He is the sheriff, the 67th sheriff he became on the 1st of January 2018, if I have my years correct. And his name is Errol Toulon, Jr., always a welcomed addition. Sir, how are you?
I'm doing great, Jay. Thank you for having me this morning.
It is a pleasure. And, of course, the sheriff, the county's first African-American to be elected, by the way, to a non-judicial countywide office. Before we get into the crux of the matter here, and you know where I'm going to go, tell me how you like the job and everything else. Has it been everything you anticipated? Give me your thoughts there for a second.
You know, there's been some challenges, but I can tell you this is a lot better than working on a Rikers Island for 25 years.
I could only imagine, no question. So, listen, you got a lot of years, we know, experience-wise, and you brought it to the table. All right, so let's get into a little bit, Sheriff, and that is, you know, this has been the hottest topic going. You know, everybody's talking about it, everybody's sounding off on it, the bail reform. It has been absolutely a train wreck. I'll say it, put it bluntly. There's no other way to put it. Give me your thoughts and everything else as far as the leader of Suffolk County here.
You know, I can't agree with you more that this legislation is not the best that's been than has been put forward by our state legislature. You know, one of my biggest concerns is the fact that judges do not have that discretion to look at a person's criminal history. In addition, if the person's been, you know, previously arrested, have they been able to look and see if this individual has returned to court when they were supposed to? And if those things should be able to be taken into consideration by a judge, and it should be their discretion and not Albany lawmakers who are telling judges what to do and what not to do.
No question. You mentioned the judges. I have absolutely said that. You have taken away, you know, the discretionary position of our courts in that of the judge. I mean, how demonstrative can you be in stating the obvious in that regard? You know, to me, that's the biggest thing in this thing. You take away their discretion, and now, Sheriff Toulon, you put forth public safety as a big issue because of this.
Yes, if you think about, you know, our police departments across the state of New York that now have to go and risk their lives once again to rearrest someone that may commit another crime when they normally would have been incarcerated or had some bail imposed on them. You know, it's just horrific, and I feel sorry for the men and women that are out on the streets every day. You know, the men and women inside the jails that have to deal with these individuals. You know, and some of them have some serious issues. Some of them have, you know, these individuals committing crimes have mental health issues or substance abuse issues. And now, you know, normally if they were incarcerated or remanded, at least there are services there to help them. If someone has a substance abuse problem and they're committing a robbery or burglary, because robbery two and burglary two are two crimes that are incorporated in this legislation that are not bailable, now they return back to the community with the same type of issues that they've, you know, why they committed this crime. And where does it stop? Where do we at least be able to give them the help that they need and get them away from the community? Because, what, you know, we're not thinking about the victims. The victims of these crimes are totally left out when you think about this legislation.
Sheriff Errol Toulon, Jr. with us. I'll say this. You know, there's a reason why 47 states in the union, Sheriff, give judges that authority of discretion. By the way, let's include New Jersey in that, which also eliminated most of the cash bail. We give them credit for that. But I'll tell you another thing that lawmakers need to fix, and that is the reversal of the presumption on rapid disclosure of victim and witness information. I'm sorry. This is disgraceful in itself as well. Their names and identifying information should be redacted completely until defense attorneys make the case for why they need to know what they need to know at the start of the process, rather than, you know, kind of in the weeks leading up to a trial. That, to me, also is secondary in the list. Definitely judges one, but again, rapid disclosure two here.
I agree 100%. And, you know, we're probably going to see witnesses really decline or not come forward because their information will be disclosed to a defendant.
Without question. And if you want to go a step further, you know, I say, you know, slash the rest of the requirements as far as new discovery to a level that crime labs, prosecutors, you know, maybe they can manage it in a timely manner. You cannot let defense attorneys, you know, kind of game the system by gumming up the works until the prosecution gives in. I mean, you can't allow that to happen at all.
Yeah, and, you know, what I can tell you that our district attorney's office, Tim Sinney, and, you know, the Suffolk County Police Department has really pulled together prior to this legislation occurring so that we were prepared. Judge Henricks, the administrative judge in Suffolk County, you know, we met, we had several meetings. We were at a pace that when this legislation took place, we felt very comfortable that we were able to pull everything together that we need. You know, even with the discharge of our inmates, you know, there was a great fear that there would be, you know, hundreds of inmates released on December 31st back into communities, either from Riverhead and Yaphank. You know, and that wasn't the case. So, you know, while the legislation is as bad as it is, Suffolk County, and from what I hear from other counties, is probably one of the most prepared counties to deal with this issue.
Without question, the sheriff with us of Suffolk County, of course, Errol Toulon Jr. And, you know, it's interesting as well, you know, Sheriff, regarding our lawmakers, these same lawmakers who rushed the process, the changes into law, are looking to see how little now they can get away with when it comes to fixing the so-called reforms. Interesting there to note. And to me, you know, listen, minor tweaks, they are not remotely enough here. Every aspect of this new law needs examination, this time with the full input of the state's DAs, the police departments, law enforcement agencies such as yourself. Everybody needs to have input here, you know?
You know, and I agree. And I think once they start that conversation, I know several of our Suffolk County lawmakers have. I do think that there should be a coalition of members from the district attorney's office, the various police departments throughout Long Island, and the sheriff's office to really see what is best primarily for our community to be safe. I think that should be the number one priority when we look at this legislation. What is the safest for our community? What is the safest for law enforcement? And what's reasonable for any possible defendant?
And, you know, I don't want to get too political with you. There's no need for it. But it just makes me crazy when I hear words like fear-mongering from state senators who were backers of this bill, who used the word anecdotal. That was another one. You know, that, you know, it's just, you know, the conjuring up of the press to the public on that. I don't want to hear that. No, there's no need for that. Listen, I've cited examples every day on this show, Sheriff. And I'll tell you, the template to turn this bill around is that of this Bellport guy, who was, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, released on Monday, the same guy charged with drunken driving in the fatal crash on the William Floyd, that was what, Sunday, Sheriff, had three prior convictions for DWI, I think it was what, since 2011, talking about this Jordan Randolph. If he is not a prime example, because let's not forget, under the state's new law that eliminates bail for a swath of crimes, DWI defendants do not have to pay cash bail to get released. What about that aspect with Jordan Randolph?
You know, you think about him. You think about the anti-Semitic crimes in New York City. You think about the young lady who was released from the Nassau County Jail. She went out. She was writing graffiti on the wall, arrested, released. Then she broke into a school where she was running in and pulling the fire alarms. I mean, we're seeing cases throughout New York State of why this legislation needs to be changed. And anybody that says that, you know, anyone like yourself who's really doing a great job of exploiting and showing why this reform is so bad and what what we're talking about, these issues are horrible. These issues should never have occurred. These individuals should be incarcerated. They should be receiving the mental health treatment. Clearly, this gentleman that you're talking about, you know, has the substance abuse issue of drinking. And where does the help? Where did the state legislature provide for the help? So we're going to release individuals, but then we release them back into the same communities to continue to do the same things without the necessary help, not even guiding them to where the resources are in the communities. They're just left out there, and they're going to reoffend. We've seen this occur, you know, in my 30 years of working in law enforcement. I've seen it occur time and time again.
Without question, you brought up that young woman, the 20-year-old, I believe. And I remember the name, Maria Campione. She broke into the school, Hewlett, the elementary school there. She pulled the fire alarm. Hours before, by the way, arrested and released under this new law for allegedly, as Sheriff Toulon stated, scrawling graffiti on a bank in Oceanside. I mean, come on. These are two perfect examples of criminal history involved with these two, and thus being let out on the street. And I'll tell you right now, you know, we had on a woman yesterday who was an advocate, lost her boyfriend to was murdered years ago, and really kind of stated it over in at the Denison building yesterday, Sheriff. Something has to be done. You need rallies like this. You need people to keep speaking up. And again, you need a full repeal. I'm not looking for little tweaks here, folks. You need a full repeal of this thing to be looked at properly.
You know, I think once we start to look at it, and, you know, we've had press conferences all throughout the state prior to the legislation. And, you know, as I spoke on a show earlier yesterday on your program, we really need to look at things differently and figure out how we can really convince our lawmakers that this is not good. And, you know, I don't feel that this is coming from our Nassau and Suffolk lawmakers. You know, this is coming from New York City and some upstate counties that are really driving this. This legislation was incorporated in one large bill, so there was no way of singling this out, this issue out. You know, it was either vote yes on the budget or vote no. And so, unfortunately, you know, their hands are tied, and now we're seeing the ramifications of this not being a standalone bill.
You know, listen, I've said it a million times, when you have the mayor of the city, as progressive as he is, we know, when he is even sounding off about this, that's when you know something is wrong. Disappointed the governor and his state of the state did not address it at all a couple of Wednesdays ago, did not. But, you know, we're going to have a state senator on Friday. We'll see what's going on there. And Anna Kaplan, she has a couple of tweaks, not enough, though. But we'll see what happens. How's everything else? Everything else we need to know about? Anything of importance, Sheriff, right now? I know this is the leading charge here, but anything else we need to know about?
Well, I think one of the biggest things that you should know about is that the Suffolk County Sheriff's Office has been able to train over 14,000 kids to say something to a trusted adult. We partnered with the Sandy Hook Promise Foundation. And so with this, we've identified, you know, there's been several times when children have gone to a trusted adult because of issues, whether it's self-harm or whether they hear something going on in their school. Not necessarily an active shooter-type threat, but they've been able to really help their classmates in dealing with potential issues that could have been a little bigger issue. And so that's one of the things I'm really, really proud about because, you know, when I was running, one of my tenants of the campaign was to get to the kids before they get to me. And I'd rather see these kids in their classrooms, on a playground, in community centers, rather than see them behind the four walls in jail. So, you know, we're working really hard to work with our community and work with our young kids to really help them make good, positive choices so they can live good lives here in Suffolk County.
Certainly, when you can do that, the deconstructing that prison pipeline, you know, you kind of get to the root cause as far as delinquency is concerned regarding the youth, correct?
Right. You know, and, you know, the verbiage of that, while it says prison pipeline, it's really getting to jail, and it's working on the youth inside of our schools, you know, for anti-gang behavior and also understand the adverse childhood effects that are causing the adverse childhood effects and the trauma that some children are going through that causes them to eventually lead to some criminal behavior.
to let you go. We have made such great strides in the opioid crisis and the gangs as well. You know, the big bust a couple of weeks ago, 100 or so picked up and arrested in and around Long Island. Huge. Can't take your foot off the pedal. We know that. But the job the DA is doing is great. But do you notice kind of a difference in gang activities these days, Sheriff Toulon? You're right on the front lines there. What about that aspect as far as MS-13? Do you notice a little bit as far as maybe, you know, putting in even more of a dent, let's put it that way, into this whole thing?
Not only a dent, the cooperation between the sheriff's office, police departments, the district attorney's office has been incredible. And the amount of sharing of information so that we can stop not only MS-13, but the Bloods and the Crips. I went to El Salvador for a week, which I'd be happy to talk to you about, you know, another day, and also Los Angeles, just to get a better understanding of what's going on, why this is occurring, and how's it affecting us here, not only in the United States, but specifically here in Suffolk County.
No, I'm going to take you up on that. That sounds that it would be fascinating. I would love to hear about that without question. But you know what? We'll keep an eye on that. Can't thank you enough for a couple of minutes. I'll tell you, let's see what happens. We got to keep sounding off, and maybe, just maybe, we'll get something in place regarding this thing with bail.
Well, thank you for the work you're doing. Us in law enforcement really appreciate it.
Work together without question. The sheriff, ladies and gentlemen, Errol Toulon Jr. Sheriff, thanks again. We'll talk soon on that.
Thank you, Jay. Have a great day.